Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Upbeat earnings boost sentiment for global stocks.
Equities in Asia rise following yesterday's 2% gain for U.S. stocks.
Shares of Netflix surge as subscriber growth tops estimates.
Up next, Wall Street awaits minutes from the Fed.
It looks like special counsel Mueller will issue findings in his Russia probe after the midterms. Plus, Secretary of State Pompeo heads to Turkey in the Khashoggi probe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. It took 13 innings, but the Dodgers beat the Brewers to tie the NLCS at 2. Red Sox won in Houston for a 2-1 lead in the ALCS. Wins for the Rangers and Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
An air of calm returning to global equity markets, though stocks are trading off earlier highs. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are lower, down 4 points. Dow futures down 54 and Nasdaq futures down about 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. The FTSE 100 up 0.3%. Nikkei 225. In Japan, gained 1.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 18 cents to $72.10 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 60 cents to $12.30.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1564, the yen, 112.23. This update brought to you by PGIM and the search for Alpha. Partner with PGIM, the global investment management business of Prudential Financial, Inc. Nathan.
Karen, it is all about earnings this morning, with Netflix reporting subscriber growth that far surpassed estimates. Here with more, Bloomberg's Alex Webb.
The subscriber base jumped by almost 7 million, which is a big old number for a company which is more than 20 years old. A lot of that growth is coming internationally, importantly, and India is a really promising market for them. They introduced their first two original series there. Bringing local language series to countries outside the U.S. really seems to be paying off.
And shares of Netflix are surging in early trading, up 11%.
Meanwhile, results from United Continental are helping paint a positive picture for the travel industry. Shares are up more than 5% after the airline boosted its profit outlook for the year. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The airline overcame higher oil prices as strong travel demand boosted a financial turnaround at the number 3 U.S. airline. It says earnings will climb to at least $8 a share this year, having previously predicted as little as $7.25. United is gaining pricing power in what industry executives have called the strongest travel market since before the global financial crisis a decade ago. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Earnings for IBM, though, less upbeat. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. IBM shares down about 4.4% of the pre-market. For the third quarter, the company beat earnings estimates, but missed on revenues. Cloud revenue, which has become a key metric to watch, grew 10% of the period. That was actually slower than the 20% expansion of the second quarter. This all casts doubt on IBM's strategy to boost growth through new businesses like cloud and artificial intelligence. The sales gains the company has shown in the past three quarters, they were the result of its old legacy business, namely computer mainframes. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
John, thank you. The mostly positive earnings picture helped boost sentiment in Asia, where stocks climbed on the heels of yesterday's 2% gain for U.S. equities. Bloomberg's Juliette Sully has details.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. An air of calm returned to equity markets as the MSCI Asia Pacific Index built on Tuesday's gains, with tech players rising on the back of Lam and Netflix's earnings. Japanese shares rose the most in a month. The topic's up 1.5% in Tokyo. The Nikkei was firmer by 1.3%. But despite the gains in tech, Taiwan's TAIEX actually closed flat. In China, the yuan fell to record lows against the currency basket, but the CSI 300 closed higher by 0.6%. Hong Kong's market was was closed for a public holiday. Juliet Sarli, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Juliet. Trade is back in focus with the White House officially notifying Congress it will start talks with Japan, the EU, and the UK in as soon as 3 months. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Japan and the EU were initially reluctant to enter into trade talks with the U.S., but both are now willing to negotiate in what may be an effort to avoid tariffs on their automobile and auto parts exports that President Trump has threatened to impose. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the administration intends to start negotiations with the U.K. as soon as it's ready once it exits from the European Union next March 29th. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. Meanwhile, President Trump is once again taking aim at the Federal Reserve and Chairman Jay Powell.
The Fed is raising rates too fast, and it's independent, so I don't speak to him, but I'm not happy with what he's doing.
In an interview with Fox Business, the president called the Fed his biggest threat.
And we will hear from the Fed today at 2 p.m. Wall Street time with the release of minutes from its September meeting. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee reports.
The Fed may move the markets if the minutes show justification for a December rate move and or clues to how many moves to expect in 2019. What may matter more, though, is any discussion of how market volatility might affect policymaking. The recent move in stocks and bonds came after the September 26th meeting, but market participants remember the taper tantrum and how it led the Fed to hesitate before beginning to raise rates off zero. Investors will also look for comments or analysis of trade wars and tariffs. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's crunch time for Brexit talks, and a breakthrough does not appear to be in the cards. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from Brussels.
Really, time is running out. The UK has completely rejected this idea that Article 50, which, you know, means the UK leaves the European Union in March, will be extended. Then we have the current proposal. If it stays as it is, it would not clear Parliament. And that is terrifying for both Theresa May and the European Union. And, of course, the EU itself said, look, if we don't get any progress today, there's no point in continuing talks.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reporting from Brussels, where Prime Minister Theresa May today will urge her EU colleagues to keep working toward a deal despite the lack of progress. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here right now with more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is expected to issue findings on core aspects of his Russia probe soon after the November midterm elections. That's according to two U.S. officials. One of the officials says Mueller is close to rendering judgment on two important aspects of his inquiry, whether there were clear incidents of collusion between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 campaign, and whether the president took any actions that constitute obstruction of justice. President Trump says it would be bad if Saudi Arabia's crown prince and king knew about what happened to dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo heads to Ankara to talk with Turkish officials about Khashoggi. Pompeo spoke to reporters about his meeting yesterday with Saudi Arabia's king and crown prince in Riyadh.
They want to have the opportunity to complete this investigation in a thorough way. And I think that's a reasonable thing to do to give them that opportunity. And then we'll all get to judge. We'll all get to evaluate the work that they do.
Khashoggi was last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul 2 weeks ago. With the midterms just weeks away, Senator Ted Cruz debated Democratic challenger Congressman Beto O'Rourke. The issue of climate change came up. Cruz says his opponent voted against the people of Texas.
Let me say, if you work in energy, if you work in oil and gas, Congressman O'Rourke's record on this is extreme. He didn't just vote for a $10 a barrel tax on oil. He's also voted for aggressive regulations of fracking, aggressive regulations of exporting liquefied natural gas.
O'Rourke says he thinks the U.S. can use its energy resources more responsibly.
We can support Texas being a proud energy leader in oil and in gas, but also in renewable energy. Today, Texas leads the country. We're number one in the nation in the generation of renewable wind power. We're number five and moving up quick when it comes to solar. The two fastest growing jobs in the United States of America today, wind and solar jobs.
Polls now show Cruz ahead of O'Rourke. Almost half of births happen outside of marriage, signaling cultural and economic shifts. That's according to a new report from the United Nations. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, late baseball in L.A. It was past 2 in the morning in the East. The Dodgers and Brewers had played 13 innings, and for 5 hours, 15 minutes, Cody Bellinger was at the plate. Manny Machado stood at second base. Charlie Steiner at the mic. Dodgers radio.
Here's the pitch. Ground ball, base hit into right field. Machado's on his way home. Throw to the plate, and the Dodgers will win it. They win it 2-1, and the series is all even at 2 games apiece.
That run was the Dodgers' first since the first inning. Short turnaround. Game 5's a day game. L.A. starting Clayton Kershaw. Milwaukee hit him hard in the series opener. Tonight in Houston, Game 4 of the ALCS. Red Sox now lead the Astros 2-1 after taking Game 3 8-2. Steve Pierce broke a tie with a home run. Sixth inning, the Boston pulled away with a Jackie Bradley grand slam in the eighth. At the Garden, Rangers got their second win of the season. 3-2 in a shootout over Colorado. Devils now 4-0. They shut out Dallas 3-0 with Keith Kincaid in goal. Another goal for Kyle Palmieri. He's got 7 goals in the first 4 games. The NBA season underway. Celtics beat the Sixers. Warriors got their championship rings, beat Oklahoma City. Knicks and Nets open up tonight. Knicks will host Atlanta. Nets are in Detroit. More playing, less talking. That was the message from Giants owner John Mara to Odell Beckham, who recently criticized the 1-5 Giants. Mara just gave Beckham a big new contract. He was speaking at the NFL owners' meetings going on in Manhattan. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And keep your eye on the Chicago Bulls jerseys this year. There's a reason why I say keep your eye on them, because the team says online eyewear retailer Zenni Optical is going to be the first company to place a sponsorship patch on its jersey. It'll be on the left breast. This 5-year agreement also encompasses marketing elements, community initiatives, digital assets, and signage at the United Center. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on a Wednesday morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. European stocks pairing in advance and U.S. stock index futures are moving lower as the investor confidence that powered gains a day earlier shows signs of ebbing. The dollar ticking higher. Treasuries are steady. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 4 points now. Dow futures down 48. NASDAQ futures down 17. DAX in Germany down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.1% or 6 cents. It's at $71.87 a barrel. At 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly oil inventory report. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers has a preview.
Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are estimating a 2.5 million barrel gain in U.S. crude stockpiles, but we're seeing a divergence here. The American Petroleum Institute reported a 2.13 million barrel decrease in crude inventories. That's according to our sources. That surprised the market, leading WTI crude oil to push higher in aftermarket trading Tuesday. Investors will watch to see whether disruptions in crude production last week in the Gulf of Mexico due to Hurricane Michael will lead to a crude stock drop. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. And COMEX gold, little change at 1230.80 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump said his former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, was lying when he testified that Trump ordered hush payments in violation of campaign finance laws to silence two women alleging extramarital affairs. Turkey says it is awaiting final permission from Saudi Arabia to search the home of the Saudi consul in Istanbul as part of an investigation into the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In baseball, game four of the ALCS is tonight in Houston. Last night, the Red Sox took a 2-1 lead in game three after beating the Astros 8-2. The NLCS is even at 2 games apiece after the Dodgers beat the Brewers in 13 innings, 2-1. In opening night of the NBA season, the Celtics and Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Rangers and Devils won. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Joined now by David Sowerby. He's Portfolio Manager at Ancora Advisors. David, thanks for being here. And it does look like the foot's coming off the gas here after yesterday's 500-plus point rally for the Dow. What's giving investors pause this morning?
I think it's still, if you think about the DNA test for what's giving the market this headache, it's probably 3/4 interest rates, 1/4 global uncertainty, particularly with respect to trade and tariffs. And the interest rates are front and center today, and they have been for the last couple of months, with the 10-year pushing on that 3.2-3.25% range, and expectations, including my belief, that the 10-year treasury ultimately will get above 3.5 and start looking at a 3.75% range, and what that ultimately does to the valuation comparisons of stocks to bonds and other asset classes.
Well, what makes you think that 10-year will reach that high? I mean, it's been several days since we touched that 3.25 handle.
It has. And mind you, for the long term, and particularly in this 9.5-year bull market, interest rate forecasts have been treacherous. They have been arguably just horribly wrong. But I believe that as the Fed has been raising rates, and inflation is now in the 2.2-2.25% range, it begins to bid up the 10-year treasury, where you're going to have a 10-year treasury trading anywhere from a percentage point to a percentage point and a half above the inflation rate. And that's why I think the 10-year ultimately goes above 3.5% between now and year end.
You think it's going to go up that soon? I mean, I guess the possibility, or what seems to be baked in the cake here, is maybe just one more rate hike this year. Not everybody even thinks that that's going to happen.
And that's probably a better than 50% probability that the Fed hikes one more time. If the Fed listens to its number one mission, its number one objective is to pursue price stability. And as inflation rates go above 2%, the Fed recognizes that we have seen arguably the greatest monetary stimulation in the history of the Federal Reserve Board in the last 9 to 10 years. And the Fed needs to continue to tighten, because its mission is to promote price stability. Inflation is nothing more than a tax. It takes away your purchasing power. And that's why I think the Federal Reserve Board has to continue on this path of pushing interest rates higher. The good news, they're doing it because the economy is growing at that coveted 3% real growth rate, lowest unemployment rate we know since the 1960s, purchasing managers index, ISM index at very high levels. I could keep going on and on, but all those signal that the economy and what the Fed has done with lower interest rates in the past dictates that the Federal Reserve has to be more stringent and raise interest rates.
What's your read on the earnings reports we've seen so far? Some pretty strong results from the financials. And, of course, Netflix just went gangbusters yesterday.
So far, so good. So we've roughly seen 50 out of the 500 S&P 500 stocks report. Earnings up 19%. Most are beating. Sales up about, on average, about 7%. That's a pretty good sales or revenue number. And I'm going to be very interested as I dig more into the earnings calls and listen to forward guidance, because I think it's the month of October in particular that companies begin to really think hard about the next calendar year's sales and earnings prospects. I'm also going to be interested in more and more as more companies report how much companies talk about what higher interest rates can do to their ultimate profitability. In the second quarter, the soup du jour was what will tariffs do to my income statement, my balance sheet. In the first quarter, it was what will the tax cut do to be positive to me. Mm-hmm. This quarter, I'm going to be listening to what will interest rates be doing to my ultimate profitability.
And of course, we will be following closely the release of those Fed minutes at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. David Sowerby of Ancora Advisors, thanks as always for the insights on Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures down 5, a drop of 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank. Many success stories, one bank. BNBBank.com.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit uscfinvestments.com. That's uscfinvestments.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're watching global markets following yesterday's Wall Street rally, which saw all three major indexes gain more than 2%. U.S. futures are lower, but stocks in China gained more than 0.5%, and Japan's Nikkei rose 1.3%. European stocks are little changed.
Earnings are in focus. Shares of Netflix are up 11% in early trading after subscriber growth far surpassed estimates. Emily Chang has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Netflix reporting 5.87 million international subscribers, 1.09 million U.S. subscribers. This means that Netflix's huge investment in original content appears to be paying off. Certainly, there is some skepticism that Netflix can continue to produce so much content in so many different languages at the pace that it's currently producing its content. So that will be the big challenge for Netflix going forward. Emily Chang, Bloomberg, San Francisco.
All right, Emily, thank you. On the flip side, shares of IBM down more than 4%, sales missed estimates, and cloud revenue grew less than expected. Eight companies, including U.S. Bancorp and Northern Trust, report today.
And while corporate results continue to roll in, the Fed is back in focus. At 2 p.m. Wall Street time, the central bank issues minutes of last month's policy meeting. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The Fed has been gradually nudging rates higher to guard against inflation. It's a fine balancing act. Raising rates too far too fast is a recipe for recession. At last month's session, central bankers lifted the federal funds rate another quarter point to a target range of 2% to 2.25%. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. Meanwhile, in an interview with Fox, President Trump called the Fed his biggest threat and again criticized policymakers for raising rates too fast.
And UK Prime Minister Theresa May heads to Brussels for a summit on Brexit. Talks are currently at an impasse over how to avoid a policed border with Ireland.
And again, futures are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6.5 points. Dow futures down 86. NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25%, down 17 cents to $71.75 a barrel. COMEX gold down less than 0.1%, down 90 cents to $12.30 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr is back with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo heads to Ankara to talk with Turkish officials about what happened to Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Before leaving Saudi Arabia today, Pompeo spoke about his meetings with the Saudi king and crown prince, saying the Saudis have promised a complete, thorough, and transparent investigation.
They made no exceptions to who they would hold accountable. They were very clear. They understand the importance of this issue. They're determined to get to the bottom of it. and that they will conduct the report, and we'll all get a chance to see it.
Khashoggi, who was allegedly killed, was last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox accused Crown Prince Salman of ordering Khashoggi's murder.
We deal with bad people all the time, but this is in our face. I feel personally offended. They have nothing but contempt for us. Why would you put a guy like me and the president in this box after all the president has done? This guy's got to go.
Graham says, quote, I'm going to sanction the hell out of Saudi Arabia. President Trump says, I think we have to find out what happened first. Speaking to Associated Press, the president says, here we go again with, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. I don't like that. We just went through that with Justice Kavanaugh, and he was innocent all the way, as far as I'm concerned. It looks like Special Counsel Robert Mueller is ready to deliver key findings in his Russia probe. According to two U.S. officials, Mueller is expected to issue the findings soon after the midterm elections, including whether there were clear incidents of collusion between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. President Trump has made his choice for White House counsel. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president pretty much tipped his hand over the weekend, but now Bloomberg's Greg Sullivan says it's official.
His name is Pat Cipollini, and he was a former Justice Department official under George H.W. Bush. He's currently a partner in a Washington firm here.
He replaces Don McCann, whose tumultuous tenure was marked by handling of security clearances and is a key figure in the investigation into Russian election interference. McCann's departure was expected after the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Canada has become the first G7 country to fully legalize recreational marijuana. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, a long game for the NLCS. The Brewers and Dodgers used 42 players. 16 pitchers took the mound. They combined for 32 strikeouts. They gave up a total of 15 hits. All but one were singles. The two teams collectively left 21 men on base. Finally, after more than 5 hours in the 13th inning, Cody Bellinger drove in Manny Machado, and the Dodgers won 2-1 to tie the series at 2. Game 5 is this afternoon in L.A. before Game 4 of the ALCS in Houston, where the Red Sox just won 8-2. They pulled away late with a Jackie Bradley grand slam. Nathan Eovaldi, who took down the Yankees in the previous series, was 6 strong innings for the win. Boston's up 2-1. At the Garden, Rangers beat Colorado 3-2 in a shootout. At the Rack, Devils 3-0 shutout of Dallas to get to 4-0 on the young season. The NBA season tipped off. Celtics, the team to beat in the East. Gordon Hayward injured all of last season, now healthy. So is Kyrie Irving, who was hurt during Boston's playoff run last season. Celtics last night beat the Sixers. The Warriors favored to win another championship. It'd be their fourth in 5 years. They beat Oklahoma City. Steph Curry scored 32. There was a report the other day that Giants players no longer have faith in Eli Manning. Sterling Shepard calls it fake news.
Haven't heard that from an individual player. That's just outside noise and stuff trying to break us apart. We're doing a good job of keeping everything together in here as far as in the locker room. We have total faith in him. We picked him as our starting quarterback at the beginning of the season, and we're going to ride with that.
Odell Beckham did recently say that Manning doesn't throw the ball deep enough. Giants owner John Mara asked his reaction to that.
I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing, a little less talking.
Mara also said he's embarrassed about the Giants' 1-5 record. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a focus on Canada's cannabis boom. Also in this week's issue, Max Chafkin writes about the company that's using technology to bring low-fee investment funds to the masses.
A New York-based company that's competing with a lot of Silicon Valley startups to offer investment advice via software.
You can read more about it and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. A co-founder of a Connecticut hedge fund is accused of raising more than $19 million from investors and then using the money for personal expenses. Jason Rhodes, a co-founder of Sentinel Growth Fund Management, is charged with securities fraud for what prosecutors call a Ponzi-like scheme. The Long Island Power Authority sold $430 million in revenue bonds Tuesday after Moody's boosted its outlook. It was upgraded to positive by the credit rating firm on October 5th, the result of improving operations and finances. New Jersey could require most hotels to give workers panic buttons to call for help if they're threatened while cleaning. A bill in the legislature would require the devices to be provided at any hotel with 25 or more rooms. The head of the Maine Atlantic City Casino Workers Union says harassing room cleaners is common. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 now on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the changing TV landscape as Netflix keeps adding subscribers.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that United Continental has boosted its 2018 profit outlook for the third time this year.
I'm Matt Miller on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio. We're following Sterling's moves today after UK inflation slowed more than expected in September.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. The overhaul at Railroad Giant CSX is producing eye-popping numbers for profit and volume growth.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler is recalling about 18,000 vehicles for a welding problem.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, a lawsuit accuses Facebook of hiding inflated ad metrics. An online marketing agency claims the social network knew in early 2015 that it misled advisors about the average time users spent viewing video clips and then lied about it. Facebook says the lawsuit is without merit. S&P futures down 0.25% or 7 points. Dow futures down 91 points. That's a drop of 0.3%. NASDAQ futures also down 0.3% or 26 points. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are moving lower. S&P futures down 9 points now. Dow futures down 102. NASDAQ futures down 28. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany extending its declines, down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 3.16%. And NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 26 cents to $71.66 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there are new reports on the alleged hit squad accused in the disappearance of columnist Jamal Khashoggi. The New York Times says at least three of the suspects served as part of the Saudi Crown Prince's security team, but President Trump has warned against rushing to conclusions. President Trump says that he will not accept the blame if his party loses control of the House in November, arguing his campaigning and endorsements have helped Republican candidates. In baseball, the Red Sox took a 2-1 lead in Game 3 of the ALCS after beating the Astros 8-2. In the NLCS, it is even at 2 games apiece after the Dodgers beat the Brewers in 13 innings 2-1. Opening night in the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Rangers and Devils won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 5:48 on Wall Street. And this morning, it's all about earnings with Netflix leading the way. Joining us now with more on the streaming company's results, Bloomberg opinion columnist Alex Webb. Alex, I guess we can sum these results up in one word. Wow. What's your take?
Yeah, they certainly were very good. They seemed to beat on every single measure. The concern has always been with Netflix that as they ramp up investment in original content, they're unable to sustain that pace with subscriber growth. There's always concern that at some point they're going to hit a ceiling, and certainly that ceiling has not been reached yet. They are expecting to add 29 million customers this year. Seven of those were in the most recent quarter, but that bring them to, or that brings them before the end of this year, sorry, in the end of the third quarter, to 137 million. So, you know, this is a company which is over 20 years old and it's still growing at a really good pace.
Obviously, it's changed quite a bit from its early days of DVD by mail, of course. But it makes you wonder, with that kind of subscriber growth, is there room for Netflix to continue maintaining that kind of growth?
That was one of the more interesting comments that CEO Reed Hastings made on the call, and was that in the course of the earnings, was that, you know, they see another decade of growth potentially. Now, obviously, they're going to give the most optimistic outlook they can, but it's only in this quarter that they, for instance, introduced original series in India, which is a huge growth market potentially, and those investments, they said, did reap dividends. They don't break out the numbers for where their subscribers are beyond the US itself, but given the size of the Indian market and the increasing penetration of high-speed internet, there is a huge amount of upside there.
Yeah, one other thing I'm curious about is, with the huge amount of original content this company's putting out, something like, 600-plus original movies and programs just in the last recent months, how much more content can Netflix deliver?
I think the interesting takeaway will really be how much more content do they need to add each month or each quarter in order to sustain their existing user base. So if it does ultimately happen that they start the subscriber additions slow down, are those guys hanging around because of all the new content going on every month? Or can the pace of that new content slow? As you say, it was 696 hours worth of original content were added in the most recent quarter. That's the first time they've broken the 500 hours a quarter mark. At the moment, the addition of that content is intended to attract new users. Retaining those users, as every other media company in the world starts to bring their own OTT over-the-top service, not least Disney, as those guys come into the space, what do they need to do to retain their existing customer base?
And, of course, all that content costs money to produce. Does Netflix risk getting over-leveraged in our last minute?
Well, they have seen, actually, the net debt estimate for this quarter was less than, the net debt number was less than analysts had estimated. So it seems that their pace might be slowing, but, you know, it's still a big spend that they're making every year.
And Netflix shares in the early trade up 11% on the heels of that blockbuster earnings report from Netflix late yesterday. Alex Webb, Bloomberg Opinion columnist, thanks so much for the insights as we continue to follow the growth of the streaming video company. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A PricewaterhouseCoopers survey finds almost 60% of men on company boards say the push to bring in more women and minorities is driven by political correctness, while half as many women agree. Fishing for certain salmon species in California and Oregon could be banned as federal authorities try to rebuild stocks of the popular menu items. Ocean fishing will get the bulk of attention, but some river restrictions could be set. And a federal court in California says a would-be class action accusing Viacom and other tech companies of improperly using apps to gather children's personal information can proceed.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the discrimination lawsuit against Harvard University's admission practices, where a group is accusing the institution of discriminating against Asian American applicants. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Elise Boddy, a professor at Rutgers University Law School and founder and executive director of the Inclusion Project.
Put it into context of the various cases at the Supreme Court on affirmative action.
We can start by looking at the 1978 case. The Bakke decision, which essentially held that quotas, the use of quotas in admissions, is unconstitutional. But Justice Powell, who was sort of the Justice Kennedy of his day, concluded that race could be considered as one of many different factors in a comprehensive admissions process. And he pointed to Harvard as the model for how such an admissions process could be implemented. 25 years later, the court in 2003 upheld, again, the use of race in admissions as one of many different factors. In 2016, the court, again in Fisher, concluded that student diversity was an important constitutional value. So we have a pretty significant body of law in which the court has found on different occasions that the educational benefits of student diversity are constitutionally compelling. But what this case is seeking to do is essentially to say that you can't use any race at all in any context.
You've said that the plaintiffs are going back to the basics in suing Harvard. What do you mean by that?
The Harvard admissions process was cited by Justice Powell back in the 1978 Bakke decision as a model example of how race could be constitutionally used. And so in suing Harvard, essentially the plaintiffs are trying to overturn a plan that has been cited in various contexts by the court as being a model plan. Harvard also is going to attract a lot of attention because it does set the standard for how admissions is done. And so by suing Harvard, the plaintiffs are going after a very big fish. And we also have the danger that if the Harvard case is successful, that it could have an enormous chilling effect around the country in university admissions in terms of the consideration of race.
And that's Elise Boddy, professor at Rutgers University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
Karen, it is now 5:56 on Wall Street time for the Bloomberg ETF report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Want to invest in FANG stocks? Well, yes, there's an ETF for that. And Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, is here to tell us more. Eric, what about FANG stocks and ETFs?
Yeah, so FANG stocks obviously having a rough week or two here, but generally I get asked a lot what ETF is best to play these. And after some sector reclassifications, the one that really has the most is FDN. It's the First Trust Internet ETF. It holds all four. I'm not including Apple. I'm using Amazon as the A there, at 35% weighting, and it's the best performer over the last 10 years with an 800% return because of that FANG exposure.
How are the stocks included? Is it a market weight? Is it a cap weight?
Yeah, it's a market cap weight in the case of FDN. So you're going to have the bigger stocks at the top. In this case, you're going to have Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, and then Google.
Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. S&P futures now down 7 points. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures down 25. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. And the 30-year yield is at 3.34%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 24 cents to $71.68 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little change this morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.